This Is Your Life, episode 93. Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about 10 reasons every leader needs a blog. Well, by definition, leadership is influence, right? And if you have influence, and oh, by the way, everybody does, you're a leader, and if you're a leader, you no doubt want to have even greater influence. Well, I don't know of an easier, more scalable way to do this than to have a blog, and that's exactly what we're going to be discussing on this episode. You can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript of the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/93, as in episode 93. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this important topic.
If you have something to say or sell in today's noisy world,
now you can get the inspiration, training, and tools you need to increase your influence and impact.
Platform University, a community of like-minded individuals led by one of Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers, Michael Hyatt.
Each month, you'll get access to
The Masterclass, where Michael interviews leading platform authorities.
Backstage Pass, a behind-the-scenes look at Michael's own platform business.
Member Makeover, with specific recommendations you can put to work now.
A live Q&A session where you can ask Michael your most burning questions.
And the discussion forum where our members support one another in their common quest.
Hi, this is Ryan Jenkins from ryan-jenkins.com. Participating in the member makeover of Platform University has been a true catalyst in taking my business and platform to a whole new level.
Intrigued? Now it is the time to invest in building your own platform, platformuniversity.com.
Well, I spoke in Atlanta this past week to a trade association in the financial services industry, and most of the attendees that were at the conference ran local offices all over the U.S. where they and their staff serve high net worth families. And I spoke on the topic of platform, get noticed in a noisy world. And I do actually quite a bit of speaking in the financial services industry. And that's one industry among a few that have really lagged behind in terms of their adoption of social media and blogging and all the rest. And now all of a sudden they're realizing that they've got to catch up, that they're missing a huge opportunity. And this is a way that they can prospect and connect with their clients and their customers and so forth. Well, one of the things that I said when I was there, and I said, look, I warned them. I said, this is going to sound a little harsh, and I can't believe I have to say this in 2014, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that's this. If you don't have a website, you don't exist. And really, that's true if you think about it. When somebody hears about you or hears about your company or your cause or your brand or your church or whatever it is, what's the first thing they do? They Google you. And if you don't show up when somebody searches for your name or for your brand name or your organization, then as far as they're concerned, you don't exist. It costs you in credibility. And I can tell you from my perspective, when somebody doesn't show up on Google, it immediately makes me suspicious because I'm thinking to myself, what do they got to hide? So you've got to, at the very least, have a website. But I think while that's true, I feel actually even more strongly than I said when I was speaking the other day, especially if you claim to be a leader. If you don't have a blog, or if you do, but you aren't blogging on a consistent basis, then honestly, you're missing out on one of the greatest leadership tools ever invented. And in this episode, I just want to talk about why every leader should have a blog, and I've come up with a list of 10 reasons why I think this is true. So number one, to improve your communication skills. Now look, as a leader, one of the things that you're required to do is to communicate. You've got to be able to articulate your organization's mission, your vision. You've got to be able to enroll people in that. You've got to be able to give clear directions. So much depends on your ability to communicate. And today, A lot of that is written. And you just can't have the excuse, well, I'm not a writer. I mean, I think every leader has to be a communicator, not only orally, and some leaders are better at that than others, but in written form. And it's the good news is this is one of those things that you get better at over time. But there is nothing like blogging to hone your writing skills. And I looked back when I first started back in 2004, and I had written a lot before that, but when I started blogging, and I read some of those old posts, and man, I'm going to tell you, they were rough. They weren't that great. I wasn't that succinct of a writer. I wasn't that organized. I didn't tell enough stories. I mean, I could critique myself on and on, but I did it. And guess what happened? I got better over time. And I love this old saying. I don't know who it's from. I attributed it to Anonymous, who's responsible for a lot of quotes. But Anonymous said that thoughts disentangle themselves passing over the lips and through pencil tips. And I think that's really true. The more you write, the more clarity you get in your own mind. And writing forces clarity. And if there's one thing that you need as a leader is clarity. If you're going to recruit anybody, if you're going to enroll anyone, if you're going to marshal the troops and get the job done, you're going to have clarity. First for yourself, and then secondly, for the people who are following you. So the first reason you need a blog is to improve your communication skills. Second reason, to create a repository for your best thinking. Now, honestly, this was the thing that got me started in 2004 when I started blogging was, first of all, I got tired of repeating the same information to people, both my employees and people in the industry who ask how I did various things. I also thought it was a terrific way for me to actually craft an answer, to add value, to put it into a form that I could share on a regular basis. And I think that's one of the great values of blogging, is that you can take your best thinking, whatever it's about. It's a way of passing on your thinking, of taking your best thinking and passing it on to your followers. If you don't do that, then you're really confined to all these face-to-face or oral engagements. And nothing wrong with that. I believe in that too. I think face-to-face is huge for leaders and critically important. I also think that, you know, public speaking is helpful, but there's something about reading it and something about writing it so that it can be shared. It enables you to be present in places that you could never physically get to. You know, I've got people that are reading my blog today all over the world, and at times when I'm not awake or times when I couldn't meet with people. So again, it's a way to scale your best thinking and share it with other people so that you can have an impact and so that you can have influence. So that's reason number two, to create a repository for your best thinking. Reason number three, to provide thought leadership to your industry. You know, this is a huge way to not only be perceived as a leader, but to actually lead. You know, to see a bigger vision than just leading your organization, but to actually have influence in your industry. You know, somebody's going to be doing the thinking for your industry. And the question is, are you a leader or are you a follower? Are you going to leave that up to somebody else or are you going to take responsibility for it? You know, and I hear people a lot of times complaining about their industry. Well, you know, our industry is backwards or it's just not doing this or it's doing too much of that or whatever. We'll speak into it. And that's a great thing about a blog is it gives you the opportunity to speak into it, to at least initiate the conversation and hopefully influence people in your industry. There's no reason why you have to settle, you know, for having things that the way they are. I remember back in 2008 when I was at Thomas Nelson, I wrote a blog post about why we were withdrawing from the trade show. And it wasn't, you know, this was our big publishing trade show and it wasn't that popular at the time, but it really did influence a lot of other people in our industry to examine the efficacy of trade shows. We were spending a ton of money to meet with a few people and it just wasn't that effective. And I think it got a larger conversation going and certainly our action, not only me writing the blog post, but our action as a company of withdrawing from the trade show stimulated a lot of conversation and shaped, I think, the industry. Well, there's a lot of ways to do that, but I think that with blogging, you have the opportunity to be perceived as a thought leader. And what a terrific thing. And by the way, if you think you might not be working at the same company in the future and you want to gain some visibility in your industry and be perceived as a thought leader, that's exactly the kind of person that other companies, that other organizations want to hire. So why not develop a platform that gives you some credibility in your industry for exactly that purpose, should it ever become necessary in the future? So that's the third reason. Fourth reason, to raise your organization's visibility. You know, I remember when I first started blogging back in 2004, after a couple of years, I had people that came to me and said, gosh, I'd never even heard of Thomas Nelson before as a publishing company. And I mean, let's face it, most consumers don't know who publishes the books that they read. They may know the author, they may know the title of the book, but rarely, rarely, unless they're a book geek, do they know the publisher. And so these people said to me, because you've kind of put a face and a name on your company and given it visibility, now I know that company, and I actually do look for your company's imprint on the back or on the spine of books. So it is a way to raise your organization's visibility, for your organization to be perceived as a leader in your industry segment. So, you know, you can do that a lot of different ways. I mean, you could do a lot of advertising, you could do radio ads, television ads, all the traditional kinds of media, but oh man, is it expensive. And honestly, today, content, and this is an original with me, I'm not sure who I got it from, but content is the new marketing. And when you produce content via a blog on a regular basis, it creates leadership, it creates visibility, it gives attention for your organization. And it certainly worked for me when I was at Thomas Nelson. It's worked for me now as I'm out on my own, but it's given that kind of visibility that I want, and you probably want as well. Reason number five, to share your organization's vision. You know, if you're a CEO, or if you're a divisional leader, or you run a department, or a local, you know, retail operation, or a franchise, or whatever, you know, part of what you've been hired to do as a leader is to cast a vision. By the way, if there's no vision needed, then we don't need a leader, because leaders are only hired to change the status quo. If everything's acceptable, you don't really need a leader. You may need a maintainer or a manager, but you don't need a leader. You only hire a leader when you want to affect change. And one of the first jobs of every leader is to cast a vision. You got to create a new vision for what it is you want to create so that people can see where they are and where you're taking them. Well, one of the best places to do that is in a blog. You can talk about the vision, talk about a better tomorrow, talk about a different, more desirable state, an envisioned future. And a blog is a terrific way to do that. I did that as we were crafting the vision for the next 5 years when I became the CEO of Thomas Nelson. I just started writing a series of blog posts about what I hope to accomplish. And by the way, most of that is not proprietary. You know, there's definitely proprietary stuff in terms of our strategy and some of the tactics, but the big picture stuff, you know, the thing that gives you the competitive advantage is usually not your vision. It may be your strategy, but honestly, it's your execution. You know, a lot of people have the same ideas, but the ones that execute them are the ones that are the difference makers, not the ones that just have a unique vision. You know, a vision all by itself is the starting place, to be sure, but it's certainly not the end all, and it's not sufficient, but it's a great place to start. And it's a great place to sort of unfurl your new vision, to use your blog as a way of doing that. And one of the things I do even today in terms of vision is just talk about the kind of life that people could have as an entrepreneur, as a platform builder, as somebody who's committed to life planning, whatever it is. I talk always in terms of vision, this desired future state, and try to create something visual and something compelling. And a blog is a great place to do that. It also is a great place to hammer out your own clarity about the future so that it is compelling to people. Because if it's not concrete, it's not going to be compelling. So that's really the fifth reason to share your organization's vision. Number six, to network with people who can help you. Oh my. A blog, a social media account, these are tremendous tools in the hands of a leader who will use them. Because it does enable you to connect with customers in really meaningful ways, to get their feedback, to listen in as they comment on your blog posts, as they tell you what they think. But to also ask them questions and to be able to speak into their businesses and add real value that helps them. But one of your responsibilities as a leader, I would think, is to network with the right people, whether it's clients, whether it's vendors, whether it's future employees or current employees. You know, networking with people is one of your jobs. The problem is that if you limit yourself to kind of the old-fashioned methods, how we did it like 10 or 20 years ago, where you'd join the Chamber of Commerce or the local Kiwanis Club, you know, that doesn't scale. It's only as big as it is. You know, you can meet a few hundred people a month and pass out your business card and hope that something happens. But when you have a blog, When you're involved in social media, it's like that, but on steroids. I'm not saying it's a substitute for face-to-face meetings or for getting to know people personally, but it's a great place to start. In fact, somebody at this recent conference I was at, and I wished I could cite the source on this, but he said, typically, before somebody meets you via your blog or social media, 57% of the decision to buy from you is made before they actually ever meet up with you in person. So again, I don't have the source on that, but I think directionally that's right. I think so much research for most of us is done on the web today. We find out about the companies, we form opinions based on their websites, and the blog can give a richer, fuller kind of perspective to people than something that's just like a website that's a brochure hanging out there in cyberspace. And that's the thing I like about blogs, is it gives you a chance to shape people's perception of you and again, to recruit people. And the whole point here is to network with people that can help you. So I've had so many people come to me, almost everybody working in my organization today, and I've got about 14 different people, only one an employee, the rest of them virtual, but almost all of those have come to me through some kind of virtual encounter. Either they started following my blog, and I get people every week that say, hey, I read your blog, or some encounter in some kind of social media network, but it's a terrific way to network. It is networking of this century. You know, it is largely replaced all those other organizations, or at least, you know, it creates the foundation that makes those relationships easier. So that's number six. Number seven, to build trust with prospective customers. Now, you and I both know that trust is like the main ingredient when it comes to getting people to buy. Whether it's a product we're selling or a service or just a point of view, people are not going to buy from you unless they trust you. The more trust there is, it is the easier it is for them to say yes, the faster it is for them to say yes, the more they're going to buy, the more they're going to spend. So trust is critically important. The thing that I love about a blog is it gives you an opportunity to build that trust over time, one deposit, one post at a time. People get to see your thinking. They get to see what you're about, especially if you're vulnerable, especially if you're authentic, especially if you talk about more than just your professional life, but some of your values and some of the things that shape you. Those are the very kinds of things that build trust with customers so that long before they have that encounter or that opportunity to enter into a transaction with you, they've got the trust. And so this is a huge benefit of blogging, is that it creates that trust. It won't do it all at once. I mean, just because you have a blog doesn't create the trust, but as people hear from you on a regular basis, as they learn your thinking, as they value it, and more importantly, as you add value to them, help them answer real questions, help them solve real problems. The more that you do that, the more trust is created and you become a trusted advisor in their lives. I know the financial services industry loves to use that phrase, and I think it's great for bloggers as well. So that's number seven. Number eight, to build authority in your niche. I don't know of a faster way to build authority than to blog. I mean, yes, you could write a book, and that's hugely helpful, and I advocated that elsewhere. I really believe that if you haven't considered writing a book, you should. It's possible for anybody today. Obviously, you have to have something to say, but you probably are an expert. Maybe you don't appreciate your own expertise, but there's probably things that you know how to do that other people don't know how to do, and people are willing to pay you for. If you're a professional or in the professional services industry, you already know that because that's the whole premise behind your business. But I'm saying that this is a terrific way to establish authority in your industry segment or for your business is to start a blog. People just kind of impute this authority if you're a blogger, especially if they're listening to you, especially if you're adding value. So if you want to build authority, if that's important, and it is for building trust, it is for selling stuff, then a blog is a terrific way to do that. Reason number nine, to gather feedback from your constituents. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I've been so successful in the last 3 years since transitioning out of the corporate world and becoming an entrepreneur is because I've learned to listen to my constituents. I've learned to listen to my readers. Every year, I conduct a reader survey on my blog, and I ask my readers a lot of questions, but primarily what I'm looking for, in addition to the obvious demographic information, I'm looking for the psychographic information. I want to know what their pain points are. I want to know what their aspirations are. What do they daydream about? What do they hope to accomplish? What are their values? What are their habits? I ask all kinds of questions about this. Why? So I can better serve them, so I can create products, so I can create solutions that answer real needs. It's very easy for you to do that, but you've got to have a blog to do it. Or at least a blog is a great way to do it because you've built a relationship with people. And then when you ask them to help you help them further by answering a questionnaire, they're willing to comply. The last time I did this, which was November of 2013, I had about 3,300 people respond to my survey. And get this, there were 53 questions on that survey. It was not a short survey. And by the way, if you don't have a longstanding relationship with your audience, a lot of trust built up, I would not answer or ask that many questions. It's just too much. I mean, it'd be unusual for me to fill out a survey that had that many questions, but I had 3,300 people who were willing to do that. And it was enormously helpful. And by the way, one of the things that was the most helpful to me is hearing how they used or what language they used to describe their own problems and their own dreams. Because when I'm writing copy or I'm creating a product, I want to frame it in the language that they would use so that when they read my copy or when they hear my voice or when I'm talking about it, they think, oh my gosh, he's been reading my mail. That's exactly how I feel. So the more you can do that, the better products that you can build. So gathering feedback from your constituents is another reason for blogging. If you blog, you're going to hear from people. You may not like some of what you hear, but honestly, the criticism is minuscule, at least in my experience, compared to the people that honestly want to engage, that want to talk about the topics that I raise, and frankly, want to affirm me or my company for something that we've done. But it gives you an opportunity to create that feedback in the comments, through emails, but the blog is basically the foundation for that and makes that possible. And that leads me to the 10th and final reason. And this is really important to me, and maybe it's just because I'm in this stage of life. But the reason I love to have a blog is to mentor the next generation of leaders. You know, I get asked every week, and you might be asked this every week as well, could I meet with somebody for coffee? Could they pick my brain? Would I be willing to mentor them? The truth is, I do mentor some guys. I did it formally a few years ago. Actually, for 3 years, I mentored 8 different men on a every other week kind of basis, and it was an awesome experience. Today, I do it informally with a bunch of different guys. I do want to get back to it at some point on a formal basis. But in the meantime, my blog is a terrific way to mentor the next generation of leaders. I have so many people that write me, really, honestly, probably every day, at least every week, people that write and say, you're my virtual mentor. I can't find a mentor locally, but I read your blog posts, I listen to your podcasts, and you have become my mentor. Well, this is possible for you. There's stuff, again, that you know that you could pass on to those who are following behind you. And a blog is just a more intentional, more deliberate, more helpful, more permanent way to do that. And so I would encourage you to consider starting a blog for these 10 reasons. And I hope I've convinced you to start a blog or post more consistently, or if you're doing both of those, to just stick with it. It matters. And as I said at the beginning, blogging is a gift to us as leaders, I think in our generation. I don't know of a greater leadership tool, a way that you can have a greater impact than to have a blog. And I hope if you don't have one, you'll start one. And if you're not being consistent, that you'll get consistent. Or if you're doing both of those, that you'll keep going. Well, question for you, which of the reasons that I shared, which of these 10 reasons have you found to be the most compelling? And I just want to ask you to leave a comment at michaelhyatt.com/93, as in episode 93. Let me hear from you. And if you're stuck, what is it that's holding you up from doing a blog? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, and I'll just answer this one because I hear this all the time. Maybe you're thinking, well, I just don't have time. I mean, I'm so stinking busy right now. I don't have time. Well, let me tell you something. I had the same argument when I was a sitting CEO. I was very busy. On top of that, I had 5 daughters living at home. So my family life was crazy too. So the only way that I was able to get to it was to reframe blogging as part of my responsibility as a CEO to cast vision, to network with people that could help me, to be a thought leader in my industry, and all the rest. So all the reasons I've given you, I reframed that as simply a different, more efficient, more effective way to do the job that I'd been called to do. So with that, let's turn now to our listener Q&A segment.
The idea of writing and publishing the book can be very overwhelming.
It is
hard to know where to start and what is the right thing to do.
The good news is that trusted and reliable help is available for you. Get Published from Michael Hyatt will give you instant access to Michael's 3 decades of knowledge as a publisher, literary agent, and author. This 21-part audio series will tell you how to publish your work and become successful and thriving author. Michael is confident that Get Published will help your message get noticed in a noisy world. So take action now
and give yourself the very best chance to become a best-selling author.
MichaelHyatt.com/get published.
We had a variety of questions this week. The first one comes from CJ.
Hey, Michael. My name is CJ from Atlanta, Georgia, and I run a website called PrepareMyMission.com where we help people prepare for their international mission trips. My question is about Facebook. With Facebook really cracking down on the number of fans you can organically reach with a post, is your strategy on Facebook changing? I know their push is for businesses to start paying to reach their fans, and I'm wondering if you're planning on paying to reach your own fans, or if you have a different strategy going forward. Thanks for all that you do, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this.
Well, CJ, you're exactly right. You know, this is one of the changes to Facebook that makes me want to pull out my hair. But the truth is, it's their platform. They've invested in it, and why should we have access to it for free or on our own terms? You know, it's a very effective way to connect with people, and it definitely has changed the way I use it. I wish that I'd had this question last week, because I would have pointed you to Amy Porterfield's course, Facebook Profit Lab, which I'm an affiliate for, and we were pushing last week, but now, unfortunately, that course is closed, but it'll be open again. But Amy Porterfield, I would listen to her podcast, I'd go to her website, I would consume everything you can get from her, because she takes into account the ways that Facebook changes and will teach you how to keep winning with the new Facebook. And I've learned everything I know about Facebook from her, honestly. I've just sat at her feet, I've soaked it in, and it's made a huge difference. I've made, honestly, tens of thousands of dollars this last year because I followed her strategies on Facebook. And for example, I'm running Facebook ads now, not the kind of Facebook ads that are on the sidebar of the Facebook page, but the kind that actually go in your newsfeed. And Amy teaches you how to do that. But so they're in line and they're way more effective, probably twice the response you'll get if you're in the newsfeed as opposed to on the sidebar. But I run ads on a continuous basis there. You may not always see them because I'm selecting markets where I think there's some affinity, but where people may not know me. And so I'm appealing to those. And then also, whenever we have a launch, we always run Facebook ads. That's a core part of our business strategy. And we do pay for them, obviously. But right now, we're getting about a 10-to-1 return. In other words, for every dollar's worth of Facebook ads that I buy, I'm making about $10 in profit. So I'll spend that kind of money all day. So while it's frustrating, yeah, I get that. It just means it's not free anymore. But that doesn't mean it's not effective if you're smart about it and if you have the right strategy. Next question comes from Dick.
Hi, Michael. This is Dick Hardy speaking with thehardygroup.org. I believe I saw you did a two-screen interview with Max Licato here a year or two ago, and I wondered what software you used or program you used to do that interview with him. If you could let me know, or our listeners, your listeners, that would be great. Thanks very much.
Okay, I'll try to get from becoming too geeked out on this, Dick, because it's a great question and something that I do have a lot of experience with. But I use a software plugin that goes with Skype, and it's called Call Recorder for Skype. It's only $29.95, so $30, and it's terrific. It records your video monitor, you know, your Skype channel, as well as the person you're interviewing, and you can either display them side by side or you can break them apart and have them each as a video feed. It's very sophisticated piece of software. And I've got a link in the show notes so that you can find it later. You can just click on over there and buy it. I'm not an affiliate, but it's a great piece of software. I've also written a post called How to Record a Video Interview in 8 Steps. And there I basically just deconstruct my process, exactly what I do, because it was some trial and error and I made some mistakes in the early days. And I don't do it as much anymore because I tend to do my video recordings for Platform University, for example. Most of those tend to be either on location or in a studio or somewhere. But occasionally we do them face-to-face because I want to talk to somebody that I can't get face-to-face with. And this is a terrific way to do it. But my process is detailed out there in that post. Another thing I want to give you a link to is another process or a workflow I have called How to Prepare for a Skype Video Interview. And this is a process that I send to everyone whom I'm going to interview via Skype, because there's some things that they need to know on their end if we're going to make it a great interview. For example, they need to be in a wired-in connection. They need to have a pair of earphones or earbuds in, and I even give them a link to a pair that I recommend on Amazon that are almost invisible, but keep their audio from bleeding through and creating the kind of feedback that's really annoying that sometimes you see in those kinds of interviews. So a lot of detail there. The links are in the show notes, but I think that'll get you a long way toward the answer that you want. So great question. Next question comes from Travis.
Hey, Michael, it's Travis Dahmert calling from I Run, You Run in Atlanta. People can find our blog where we talk about habits in the workplace, particularly performance habits in the workplace at irunyourun.com. My question is about dealing with mavericks inside of organizations, those people who deliver results but insist on doing things their way instead of embracing either established protocol or whatever the leaders are trying to accomplish. As we help companies build high-performance cultures, we find that mavericks are the single greatest challenge to making meaningful, sustainable change because they just don't want to play along, and they don't. And then they provide hope to others who don't want to play along. So I'm curious if you agree that maverick behavior has to be addressed, and also if you found some effective ways for doing this, ideally without having to terminate them. Appreciate all you do and hope to see you the next time you're in Atlanta. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Travis, I just want to speak from my experience on this because there are definitely mavericks in most corporations. You know, people that just kind of march to the beat of a different drummer. They have their own way of doing it. They're not that willing to change oftentimes. And as you said, they can set a bad example or create a beachhead around which other people gather and also become part of the resistance. Well, I think a couple things I would say to this. I think when we were going through some huge organizational change at Thomas Nelson, I overdialed this, and I really wanted conformity. I wanted buy-in. I wanted people to adopt the changes that I was trying to lead in. And when they wouldn't, honestly, we got rid of a lot of those people. And unfortunately, those were often rainmakers. Now, I'm not talking about people that were unethical, but I'm just talking about people that basically had a different way of doing it. You know, they and it really wasn't necessary, frankly, for us to have conformity down to the level that I was pushing it in those days. So I think you got to ask yourself the question, does this really matter? You know, is this just a difference of style or is it a difference of substance? And I think if you're going to attract the kinds of people that are leaders and the kinds of people that are rainmakers and change agents, a couple things you have to do is first of all, major on the majors, minor on the minors, and don't get sucked into creating a culture of extreme or rigid conformity. You know, what you're going to get is a lot of passive people, a lot of followers, a lot of people that are unwilling to lead. They're just going to go along with the flow. The second thing is I think this comes back to our responsibility as leaders. You know, it's my job to sell the troops, my job to give them a compelling reason for why they need to change and do it my way. And honestly, if I can't do that, I don't think they have to change. You know, that it's my leadership that's at stake, not theirs. So I want to sell the vision. I want to get them to buy into a bigger picture, a bigger reason for change, and help them to see what's at stake. And, you know, if you can't do that, then it may be your leadership. If you can't do that, it honestly may be time for them to go. But those are just some of the things that I would use as I'm thinking about it. Terrific question. And if you come up with something else, I'd love to hear from you in the comments, either of the show notes for this podcast or elsewhere. You and I have corresponded before, so I know, hey, you know how to get to me. The last question comes from Jonathan.
Hi, Michael. My name is Jonathan Gaby. My website is jonathangaby.com. And my question is about the last podcast episode. Thank you so much for what you shared with us on finding your calling. I recently started acting in community theater and singing in choirs in various groups around where I live. And I think that it is a hobby right now, but I'd like to know what you would recommend in trying to determine if there's a market for what I do, and if this is something where I can turn a hobby into a career or profession. So I'd very much appreciate your help and your advice to me and others like me. And thanks for the episode, and thanks for all you do.
Well, Jonathan, I don't think I can answer the question, at least at probably the level of detail you want. What I hope I can do is give you a little guidance here. And I guess if you're in an area where you have a hobby, one of the first questions to ask is anybody in this niche, is anybody in this segment or anybody with this interest making money doing this? Well, obviously in the area that you're talking about and acting and so forth, yeah, there are people that are doing that. But I can tell you from living in Nashville, Tennessee, where I live and probably where you live too, there's a lot of actors that have to wait tables and do other things to make a living because their acting life doesn't support them. And the question really is whether you can have the kind of break or you can acquire the kinds of skills that make you stand out from the rest and get an opportunity to actually be a working actor or a working musician or whatever it is you want to do. So I would research it and I would be very intentional about it. I would ask people, interview people actually that are very experienced, ask them, what would they do before they became successful? What would they do to get to that next level? What do they wish they knew then that they know now? So go to school on other people's experience. Now, these doesn't have to be, you know, mega successful actors, but it may be people that are just working actors, maybe people that, you know, are in industrial videos or something that helps them make a living as they're moving along in their career, but ask them how they got where they are. That's by the way, the number one tip I have for succeeding in any career. If you want to succeed, find somebody who's successful and then pattern your life, pattern your behavior after them. Do what they've done. And once you get a little momentum, you know, you can alter that, you can improve it, you can take it to the next level, but find successful people and do what they've done. There's no sense reinventing the wheel. Somebody has figured this out and you can go to school on them. Well, that's all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question and you can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. I'll do my very best to get to them as I have the opportunity. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. And I'll be back after the break with an exciting announcement and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
Hi, this is Trevor Torres from DiabetesEvangelist.com. Man, your screencast just took all the stress out of setting up my website. Thanks so much.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
All righty. Over the last 3 years, I've had thousands and thousands of people ask me what theme I use here on my blog. Well, it's one I designed myself, and then I had my developer, Andrew Buckman, build. So we rolled our own. And more than a year ago, we decided to make it commercially available to others, and it's called the Get Notice theme for WordPress. And since that time, we've been in development. We've had almost 1,000 beta testers stress test it. They've given us their input. We've revised it. We've revised it again. We've revised it some more. And we're just days away from the public launch. Finally. Well, I built this theme specifically for people like you who have a burning desire to get your message out, but don't have the time to tinker with complicated technology. If that describes you, keep listening because this theme is simple to install and it's a joy to use. And it's the fastest way I know to get up and running fast so you can do what you do best. Tell your story, engage with your readers, and build a large and loyal following. Well, we're putting the final touches on the theme and its documentation this week. So you can't get it quite yet, but you can sign up to be notified when it's available. And I'll give you the URL in just a second. But first, there are three reasons why you want to pause this podcast right now and go sign up. Number one, I'll notify those on the list the moment the theme is available. And hint, it's going to be sometime next week. So stay tuned. Number two, you'll get exclusive access to my sneak peek walkthrough videos. Now, there's 4 short videos, and I share the main features of the theme, and I also provide the why behind the what, and I explain how these features will enable you to create more consistent, more engaging, and more shareable content. The first feature video alone could mean a major breakthrough in your blog's traffic. And if you sign up to be notified, you'll get the access to those videos as we roll them out over the next few days. Third reason why you want to pause this podcast and sign up is you'll receive a VIP invitation to a private webinar that I'm leading on Monday, May the 19th. You want to mark that on your calendar, but you'll only get the invitation if you're signed up for this list. And I'm especially excited about this session. It's called My Secret Formula for Building a Massive Email List. And I'm going to reveal the step-by-step process I use to take my email list from 2,771 subscribers, which is what I had when I got wise to this whole deal of building an email list, to more than 100,000 that I have today. And I'm going to share my tools, and I'm going to walk through the exact system that I used and you can use to build your mailing list. But that's only if you're signed up for the list. Now, here's how to sign up. All you need to do is go to getnoticetheme.com, enter your email address. That's it. You'll get the links, you'll get the notifications, you'll get everything else. We're not going to spam you, but we're going to give you the information as you need it. So pause this podcast and go do that now. I'll wait. All right, well, let me leave you with one final tip. This past week, some of the guys in my mastermind group were talking about a website I'd never heard of called SimilarWeb.com. And this is a website that provides stats on other websites. You just enter in the URL for the website you want to check, and it instantly displays an overview of the site's worldwide rank, traffic volume, traffic sources. In other words, how much is from direct traffic, organic reach, social media referrals, etc., geographical reach, top referring sites, top destination sites, all that stuff. Don't let your eyes glaze over. This is an incredible site. This is excellent for research, and I use it whenever I get a request to appear on a podcast or write a guest post, and I want to know what kind of audiences they have. I go to SimilarWeb, plug in their name, and bam, for free, and in a few seconds, I get all the information I need. I also use it when I'm meeting with newer prospective clients to size them up, so to speak, and find out more about them, and it's terrific for that. Now, I used to use a website called compete.com for this, but I found it, you know, to be honest, wildly inaccurate. All I had to do was compare the stats it was showing for me to what Google Analytics was giving me, and it was like, you know, 20% of the traffic, just as one metric, 20% of the traffic Compete was showing of what I was actually getting. So I stopped using it for that reason. But SimilarWeb provides much more information and much more accurate information, and you can pay for the pro version, which honestly, I don't do. I just use the free version, and as you could probably guess, it provides a lot more information than I was getting from compete.com and a lot more accurate information. But the free version provides most of what I need. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. And I'd be so grateful if you do that. That'll help us get the word out, keep the visibility of my podcast up on iTunes. And thanks also to the following people who left a review this last week: Colorado Hillbilly, Shmulik, Jeremy Wright, Shane Black, D.H. DeWolf, Midlands SC, My Light Bulb Moment, love that name, Wellington Payas, T-Cart 1, Sparkspace, Edgar Fishbein, and Catty Chick. I am so grateful that you took the time to leave a review. That even helps more than just simply rating it. And if you'd like to review my podcast, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes. That'll take you directly where you need to write in a review. So until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.